Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today we talk about that new study published in November, the issue of the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. Now, as a mum, I'm already hearing my children nag at me. It's my fault if they don't have strong hearts. I'm joined on the phone by Dr. Rohit Khurana, Senior Consultant Cardiology with Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center, to find out more. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Many thanks, Clarissa. Thanks for inviting me again.
Okay, now, does this report raise that old topic of nature over nurture, or to put it another way, genetics of a lifestyle, when it comes to heart health?
So, yes, I mean, it's a very, very interesting study, this, and one which is, you know, going to bring about some more debate amongst all of us. It does, you know, bring into question about the importance of nurture over nature. We know, and we've known for the longest time, that there's a very strong genetic influence when it comes to the transmissibility of cardiac disease in the next generation. But this study, as you've outlined, is an interesting one. It was published, as you say, last year in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, and took a cohort of patients from the Framingham Heart Study, which is a very, very well-known group of individuals who were first studied from the 1940s, and it's called a longitudinal cohort study. And now we're in the fourth generation of families from this study who from the onset were brought in. And the whole purpose of a longitudinal study, it's a type of epidemiological approach to look at the effects over time of a certain condition, in this case heart disease. And what this study did was to take 2,000 children from 2,000 parents and study them, as you say, over 46 years. And the onset of their monitoring was from the age of 32 years old. So they were followed from 32 till almost 80. And as you put it in the introduction, what they found, the primary finding, was that children of mothers with heart-healthy lifestyles lived nearly 10 years longer without heart disease compared to those mothers who had unhealthy lifestyles. And what they did was they defined the cardiovascular health of the parents, the mothers and fathers, according to a 7-point rating scale, whether they were smokers, whether they had a healthy diet, whether they were physically active, what their body mass index was, what their blood pressure, blood cholesterol, and blood glucose control were. And they gave them a status of poor, intermediate, and ideal. So if they had 5 or 7 of those factors in the optimal range, that was considered ideal. If they had 0 to 2, they were considered poor. So as you've mentioned, and as I've sort of reiterated, the children of mothers who had poor cardiovascular lifestyles tended to have a higher incidence in their children of heart disease coming on much earlier in their life. So what that translated to was it was statistically significant for the boys, but not the daughters, the sons, but not the daughters, that they tended to develop heart disease in their 50s rather than in their 60s. So the onset of heart disease was brought forward by nearly a decade in those mothers with poor heart-healthy lifestyles.
I'm actually curious, speaking as a mother of sons, is it because if we had a heart unhealthy lifestyle, the food we eat, the food therefore we cook for our children, were things like that factors? Or was it just, you know, the psychological and emotional effects of it?
Well, I think, you know, what this study, and as one of the study authors pointed out, it does sort of raise the potential that mothers are the primary gatekeepers of their children's health. And I think it's not to be understated that when mothers are pregnant, and if they don't look after their health while they're pregnant, we've known for the longest time, you know, that mothers who, for example, smoke, mothers who, for example, may drink during their pregnancy or have an unhealthy diet or get gestational hypertension, gestational diabetes, that they give rise to premature babies, babies with heart defects, babies who have, you know, greater infant mortality. What this study is showing that the benefit of a heart-healthy lifestyle from the mothers extends maybe into the formative years of a child being raised. And children, you know, learn healthy habits from watching their parents. If parents exercise, if parents don't smoke and keep trim, this sort of observation and these sorts of lifestyle benefits seem to hold true in their children's lifestyles in their adult years. So I think what goes on from pregnancy and the formative upbringing that children are exposed to over their teenage years while they're at home, and while the mothers, and this is speculative, but while the mothers are the predominant carers of their children over the fathers, what they learn in those formative years, the habits and the healthy habits they gain last a very, very long time. And that's one of the key findings from this study.
Okay. Now, for clarity's sake, the report does not say that children of mothers with heart-healthy lifestyles won't get heart disease, just that it might occur 10 years later in life. So they could still have heart problems down the road. That's correct.
Of course. Yeah, it is. I mean, heart disease has many, many, many factors. But developing heart disease 10 years later is still a very, very nice and rewarding, in terms of the general health for an individual. I mean, it's 10 years less of seeing somebody like me, for example, you know, which, you know, that's a reward in itself. And 10 years less worth of medical bills. But, you know, ultimately, heart disease is a gradual process. Heart disease is a process which has multiple risk factors. And when it tends to present with a problem, it can be as a heart attack, it can be as a stroke, it can be as an extreme event, which of course can have disabling, if not fatal, consequences for the individual. So 10 more years of a heart disease free life is very, very important. Yes, you're quite right, it doesn't prevent it, but there are many other factors which ultimately lend itself to heart disease. But this is clearly something to be considered now.
We're speaking with Dr. Rohit Khurana, Senior Consultant Cardiology with Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center. Okay, now I can think of at least a few men that are going to look at their women and go, "Mom, yeah, it's your fault." My children included.
Yeah, okay.
But
what do you say to them?
Exactly, what do you say to them? Is it completely our fault as mothers if we did indeed have unhealthy heart practices or lifestyles? Or is some of it still back on them?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you know, let's give mothers a break. I think the important thing is one of the privileges of my job is that, you know, much of heart disease is still down to modifiable risk, which means when patients or individuals take ownership of having a heart healthy lifestyle, and that's what we've discussed, being mindful of diet, exercising, and so forth, they can stave off heart disease for a very long time. And so even though, for example, a son may be born to a mother who did not look after herself, it still is not bad news, because much of adult-related heart disease is still under the control and the self-discipline of an individual in their adult life.
Okay. Heard that, boys? No, I'm actually... I'm amused by the fact that this does put a new nuance on the statement, mummy's boy. Why is the positive impact more noticeable in male offspring?
Well, that's a good question. Now, this study doesn't address why. It just makes the observation. It doesn't go on to explain why, maybe. So the point here is that when the statistics were analysed, the benefit of a heart-healthy lifestyle from the mothers seemed to be significantly beneficial for sons but not daughters. And I think, as I say, it didn't really address the reasons why, but it may be related to the fact, and this is, again, literature-based observations, that boys and men in later years tend to have a less heart-healthy lifestyle compared to women. So we know that there's a greater incidence of smoking, there's a greater incidence of obesity, which in turn there's a greater incidence of obesity-related diseases such as type 2 diabetes. So men tend to get heart disease earlier in life anyway compared to men, partly because of a tendency to a greater risk in their lifestyle compared to women. So what this study may tell us is that the men, and when they grow into later age, just have a higher baseline of cardiac risk. So the benefit is greater compared to women, at least in this study.
Okay, this made me giggle. The report found that apart from instances of passing on hereditary conditions or propensities, fathers seem to have much less long-term influence on their children's health. Did they come up with a reason as to why that was?
So you're saying that fathers have less of an influence compared
yes.
to their mothers?
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, again, it's speculative. And today we're living in an era of gender equality, and I'm not saying that I can say the same about what it was like in the late 1970s to early 2000s, when mothers took much more of a role in their children's upbringing compared to the fathers. So again, it doesn't actually give reasons, but you know what the authors say in the study, and I tend to agree with this, is that for the longest time, the mothers are the more primary caregivers in a family unit, and certainly when it comes to this particular study in the context it was conducted.
Okay, now...
Maybe the fathers had less influence.
Well, you know... Then again, you look at it, and boys always want to be their dads. So maybe daddies...
Dads want to be their sons.
Maybe daddies need to look at their bad habits.
Yes. I mean, you know, this is just... That's right. I mean, this is just one study. And you're right. I mean, children, when they're growing up, have role models in both parents. So although this study, you know, singles out the women because of a statistical analysis, mm-hmm. of course, you know, one can't discriminate. You know, as role models in today's families, it's both the mothers and the fathers, and I would say certainly the fathers have an equally culpable, equally important role to play when it comes to being a role model for the lifestyles that their children lead.
All right, now. You know, we talked about, and you addressed very early in this conversation, even from pregnancy, what a mother's been eating, that passes on to a child. So we're talking about the impact of a mother's heart health and lifestyle on that child very early. So would it be prudent for a mother who is planning to have a child to already be looking at a heart-healthy lifestyle?
I think that's absolutely true, and I think you know the importance of this study is that it should reaffirm what I think women are already doing, which is to generally look after their health when they're having their pregnancies, and this must continue. This happens already, but this now would state that. You know that the lifestyle of a mother with respect to their cardiovascular issues and cardiovascular lifestyle should continue much later after their children are born. But certainly during pregnancy, I would say you know the vast it's a very very well informed subject, and most women who become pregnant, you know, make every effort, I'm sure, to be as healthy as possible for not just themselves but to give their children the best possible chance.
Okay, so then an important question, especially of children who might have had unhealthy childhoods or unhealthy influences, can it be reversed?
It's not all bad news.
It's not all bad news.
Let's not be doomsayers here. you know, I mean, I look at my own lifestyle. You know, it's very, very important that, you know, that this is one study and the influences seem to be there from very, very early on. But, you know, we go through phases and cycles in our life of behaving ourselves, going through times when we exercise a lot and sometimes let ourselves go with respect to exercise and weight. And I think, you know, when people, for example, who have smoked in their earlier years and they've stopped, we know that the risk from stopping smoking almost goes back to baseline as if they were a non-smoker. So much of it applies to other risk factors such as weight and exercise. I think it's very important that, you know, regardless of this one study finding, everybody should abide by the messages that as cardiologists we put out there to our patients of what defines a heart healthy lifestyle.
All right. Now, before I let you go, tell us how we can raise children who live heart healthy lifestyles.
Well, I think it comes down to the basics. I would say, you know, being particularly mindful of diet, being particularly mindful of the usual advice when it comes to fruit, fresh fruit and vegetables, being mindful about portion sizes, being mindful of avoiding the high calorie, the sugary, and those sorts of types of foods, making sure that exercise is a part of one's and family routine. And I think setting a good example as a family unit is the important message.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Rohit Khurana, Senior Consultant Cardiologist with Harley Street Heart and Vascular Centre. Thank you, Doctor, for the information. It's been rather intriguing as a mother, again, of our boys. It has been a very, very intriguing conversation.
Thank you so much again for the invitation to be part of this. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.